There are many critical choices that one makes in his lifetime, such as choosing close friends, yes, and education and career choices. And what about choosing a spouse to be with until death do us depart? Well, that's very important. But the most important choice we can make is obeying the gospel of Christ and remaining faithful even unto death. Well, our study this morning is a comparison of Demas and Luke, and we'll want to spend several Lord's days in answering the following questions. Number one, who were Demas and Luke? Number two, what spiritual choices did they make? Number three, what motivated their choices? And number four, what effect did their choices have on Paul? And number five, how can we apply this study to our lives? So we want to begin our study of a comparison of Demas and Luke in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we remember the initials PFE to help us every day do just that, prepare for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as yes, we come together in our Bible classes to study the precious Word of God. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern that God has given us. And something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in sitting down together with God's Word, please let us know and we'll set it up at your convenience, that Bible study time. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. Also, your comments, positive or negative, they're appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And at the end of the program, the times of our worship services and Bible studies are given. Now, let's get into our study this morning, a comparison of Demas and Luke. And we'll start out with question number one, who were Demas and Luke? Well, we do not know very much background information about Demas, but it is interesting to note that his name means, according to Herbert Lockyer, popular or ruler of people. Well, this is not to say that we have to live up to the meaning that our name would suggest, but you know, some people who are named after great biblical characters and faithful gospel preachers fail to remain faithful to God themselves. How tragic that is. And you know, being named Bozo does not mean that one has to act like a clown either, though one might consider changing their name in this case. Yes, names are important. I think we would all agree. So how many members of the Lord's Church today are more concerned with being popular, like Demas's name suggests? How many are more concerned with being popular rather than being faithful to our Lord and Savior? We don't want to be of those who are like the chief rulers. Look at John 12, 42 and 43 with me. Notice, the chief rulers who believed on Christ, yes, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let that not be said of us. Just to have people think we're really something, when God knows who we are and everything about us, we better be pleasing God. Yes, sir. Now, Demas is listed with Luke in three scripture references, and these would be found in Paul's inspired letters, the Apostle Paul. So we'll note these, starting out with Philemon, verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So they're all in the verse referred to Paul's fellow laborers. That would include Demas and Luke. And then Colossians 4:14, we find Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Nothing other said about Demas other than his name given. Well, we'll talk more about that in a moment. 2 Timothy 4, now, the third reference, verses 10 and 11. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So we note that Demas was a companion of Paul on the same missionary journey as was Luke. And in the inspired letter to Philemon, we saw that Demas was listed with Luke and the others as Paul's fellow laborers. Now that again being Philemon 24. And then we noted in Paul's inspired letter to the church at Colossae, Demas was listed without any other word, whereas the other brethren were who sent salutations, they were well complimented by the Apostle Paul. Excuse me. Note, let's go now to verse 7 of Colossians 4. Note, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus. Remember the runaway slave that Paul sent back to Philemon. Notice, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, that would be John Mark, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, also laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them that are at Hierapolis. Now, go to verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. You see what I'm saying? Demas is left by himself in giving his name, where the others are very much commended. So what this may suggest is the downfall of Demas, as Colossians and Philemon epistles were written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Now, what we need to note about Luke in comparing Demas with Luke, according to the writing of Eusebius, was of Grecian origin, born and raised in Antioch, and that's the Antioch in Syria. Other indications that he was Greek are the following. Note, He's not mentioned as of the circumcision, as we just read there in Galatians 4, 11 through 14. And second, in Acts 1, 19, Luke used the Aramaic word al-sadama and identified it with their proper tongue, referring to the Jews' proper language. So we're able to determine now from very reliable testimony that Luke, of course, is the inspired writer of the gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts. Now we know there's one gospel, but four accounts: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And of course, the history of the church, the book of Acts, yes, Luke is the inspired writer of both the gospel account and the book of Acts. So something to take note of is Luke quoted from the Old Testament frequently. Now, even though his gospel account primarily was written to the Greeks, but of course the Gentiles of the first century needed to learn the Old Testament just like we do today. It's for our admonition and learning, yes, that we might have comfort through the Scriptures. Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 12 bear this out. I preach a lot from the Old Testament, and rightly so, because the account of creation, the history of God's people, and the Noahic flood, and all these things we study about, we learn from the types, pointing to the antitypes, and certainly the Psalms and Proverbs, so much to learn in the book of Job, the suffering that Job occurred, yet he remained faithful. Can you imagine not studying from the Old Testament? I can't. We need to learn from it and preach it and teach it. We understand that the old law of Moses was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14, certainly so, but look at the minor prophets. They're not minor in content. The major prophets, it's like reading today's newspaper. You see how it applies to us today. But again, we're under the law of Christ, as we do not follow the law of Moses, but we certainly do study the Old Testament. Now, the Scriptures do not reveal when Luke was baptized into Christ, but they show that he was very active in the Lord's church, and the first mention of Luke in the Scriptures is as a fellow laborer and companion of Paul on his second missionary journey. Now notice with me now Acts chapter 16. We'll note verses 10 and 11. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. Now, notice the plural pronouns: we, us, and again we. Luke was with Paul at that time. Now, Luke had joined Paul at Troas and continued with Paul into Philippi, and he remained there until he was able to join Paul on his third missionary journey, Acts 23 through 5. Now, Luke says nothing of himself except as a companion of Paul on his voyage to Rome. And we note during Paul's second Roman imprisonment, shortly before his death, as we know, he wrote the second inspired letter to Timothy, the young evangelist. From this letter, we learn that only Luke remained with Paul, as Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. 2 Timothy 4, 10 and 11. How sad that is. But Luke remained with Paul only, as the others had left. And Demas, he didn't just leave, he forsook Paul, having loved this present world. And we'll want to talk more about that perhaps next week. Now, we need to note this, that since Paul calls Luke the beloved physician, we can be assured that Luke was well educated. Colossians 4:14. I want to read this because it really fits our study of the comparison of Demas and Luke. This is Brother Burton Kaufman, his statement in the introduction to the book of Luke. The frequent illnesses of Paul and the excessive hardships, beatings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, etc., which marked Paul's life are more than sufficient reasons for the beloved physician's companionship with the great apostle. It may be inferred that the frail and tortured life of the incomparable Paul was preserved and extended by the patient ministry of beloved Luke. Well, that's quite a tribute to Luke, the beloved physician, is it not? Well, it certainly is. Now, one other comment here. Was Luke the brother of Titus? Well, some commentators believe that they were, but we really cannot say that for sure, but they're going by what's said in 2 Corinthians 8:18. And we have sent with him, that is Titus, the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Now, it's true, Luke's reputation was very good throughout the churches. Possibly he could be the brother of Titus, but again, we cannot say for sure. So let's go on now to question number two. As we've discussed who were Demas and Luke and what we know about them from the scriptures, now question number two, what spiritual choices did Demas and Luke make? Well, Demas and Luke made the greatest choice of their lives when they obeyed the gospel of Christ. Well, certainly that's true. And I want us to think about something now as we're talking to those who have obeyed the precious gospel of Christ and are a member of the Lord's church, the church of the Bible, the church of Christ. Do you remember how you felt when you came up out of the watery grave of baptism? Well, at the age of 30, I remember very well crying for joy when I was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. As we know from Acts 2:38, the day the church began, what they were told to do, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that is forgiveness. And as I came up out of that watery grave, the old sinful man remaining behind, I was so very joyful and, yes, tearful at the same time, knowing how many sins were washed away. Having been 30 years old, there were quite a number, I can assure you. Well, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing after his sins were washed away in the watery grave of baptism, Acts 8:39. And as we go now to Acts chapter 16, I want us to note another conversion and where there was rejoicing. As Paul and Silas were in prison and the Philippian jailer, he brought them out after the earthquake and caused the prison doors to open, but they were still all there, even though the jailer thought they were escaped and he was ready to take his life. And Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all still here." So he brought them out and said, "Sirs," this is verse 30 of Acts 16, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What an excellent question he asked. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, this is where a lot of denominational folks just stop and say, "See there? That's all he needed to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with his house." No, belief is not all one does, because the devils believe and tremble. And we should know better than that. Belief is a part put for the whole. You see in the next verse, 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Verse 33. So belief was not all that they did. They obeyed the gospel by hearing the truth. And then, of course, believing that Jesus was the Christ, they repented. You see, he washed their stripes. Their backs were bloody with blood. And then, of course, he would have made the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And he was baptized, not only him, but all his household. And that was straightway. They didn't put it off to the next week, wait some time. But you see, he had brought them into his house. He set meat before them. And what did he do? He rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now, that's an excellent example of conversion, if we'll stay with the entire account and not quit halfway through. So Luke and Demas chose to spread the precious gospel of Christ by working together with the seasoned Apostle Paul. And this is where we can rejoice in their labors, as we know that Demas was with Paul in Rome, but are not told when he joined Paul. And since he's referred to as one of Paul's fellow laborers, he probably, like Luke, had been with Paul earlier during his missionary journeys. How blessed they were to hear the word of God proclaimed by an inspired apostle and to witness the conversions of so many precious souls. Likely, they were privileged to be involved in the planning of a number of congregations of the Lord's church. They no doubt watched with awe the laying on of the Apostle Paul's hands to pass on the miraculous gifts of the first century. Now, after the apostles died, no one else would be able to lay on hands and pass on those 9 miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when those that had received these miraculous gifts, when they died, you see, that was the end of the miraculous age. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The perfect revelation of God would come forth, and there was no longer need for the signs and wonders and miracles that were being done during the first century. And so we need to accept that from the Word of God. So, you know, since becoming a gospel preacher, it has been my privilege and honor to have worked in several mission fields. Yes, in Montana, here in the States, Australia, New Zealand, Tasmania, a mission trip there, and in Russia for 7 years. How wonderful a blessing it was for Demas and Luke to have worked with the great servant of Christ, the Apostle Paul. But, you know, I was very blessed to work with faithful, sound brethren who I love in the faith, and those that are still living, I have a special place for them in my heart. These great brethren that I worked with, I so much appreciate. Well, it would be great if our study of Demas's choices could have stopped here. Unfortunately, we know that Demas, all these right choices we just have mentioned, are overshadowed because of his last recorded choice. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. 2 Timothy 4:10. You see, that just wipes out what had happened earlier, because we do not read about him returning to a faithful status in the Lord's church. And if that did not happen, you see, he will be lost in eternity. when the Lord comes again. How sad will that be? Having been with the Apostle Paul and having that privilege, and the other faithful brethren as well. So we need to, you know, understand while Demas chose to desert his brother Paul in need, Luke, on the other hand, chose sacrificial love and stayed with Paul. And we need to appreciate the comparison here, but as such a great contrast between the two. Demas chose to desert his brother Paul. Luke chose to stay with Paul and, of course, put his life on the line. Paul was a prisoner at this time. Yes, think about the dangers Luke was facing. So that's something we want to appreciate about Luke, and of course we want to learn from Demas and not follow his sad example and tragic example. So we'll put a peg here, and Lord willing, next Lord's Day we want to pick up with the third question: what motivated Demas's choice to forsake Paul, and get into more about because he loved this present world. Well, as we close out our study this morning, as we've seen, you know, who were Demas and Luke, and we've seen what choices, spiritual choices that is, they made, you know, while they were obedient. Of course, Demas was obedient with Luke, and that was all good, and we're appreciative of that. But then when he forsook Paul, that was the wrong choice. But Luke, on the other hand, as we said, made the right choice. So we've studied that, and we want to close out our study this morning by asking ourselves, what choices are we making? Spiritual choices. Are we obedient to the gospel? Have we even obeyed the gospel? We don't want to put off obeying the gospel of Christ, because that's the most important choice we can make. Why would we put that off? It concerns our eternal destiny. And so we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ by hearing the truth. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Then we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God that went to the cross and died for our sins as well as the world's. Yes, we are to appreciate that and believe. Except ye believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Now we're ready to be of a repentative nature. That is, changing our will and doing the will of God. And so we're going to repent of our sins, get out of a sinful life, and start doing the will of God, going in a new direction. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented, we're ready now to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. Now, having made the good confession, we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave, the baptism that washes away our sins, you see, is because the blood of Christ is contacted. And we thank you so much for listening today.